So far, I'm Craig Posted. On the back of your bulletins, it says I'm the counseling minister. If I'm on behalf of the church, if you have questions or want to talk about any issues, I'm a safe person to come to. If you just have whatever issues you want to talk about, I'd be glad to meet with you, have coffee, and see what God's Word says. So please give me a call. Today we're honoring mothers, and if you are here today, it's because you have a mother. Only Adam and Eve have no mothers. All right? Guess what? You did not choose your mother. All right? God, by His sovereign design, placed you into your family to reveal His glory through you and your family. Without your mom, you would not be you. So we all have a debt of honor to pay to our mothers. So how do we honor our mothers? That's our topic this morning. Number one, first point, God's Word commands us to honor our mother. As Dave just read, Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and mother, which is the first command with a promise. A little boy doing a Sunday school production, he forgot his lines, and his mother's on the front row mouthing the lines to him. The little boy just can't get it, so finally the mom whispers, "I am the light of the world." And the kid gets it. He beams in a loud, clear voice. He says, "My mother is the light of my world." Right? That's the way we feel about our moms. Abraham Lincoln said, "No person is poor who has a godly mother." So that's true of our physical, biological mothers. It's also true of our spiritual mothers. You may want to honor today a spiritual mother, a woman who has had a spiritual influence in your life. You know, the Apostle Paul had such a mother. In Romans 6:13, the Apostle Paul tells the church in Rome, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well." And on the cross, Jesus himself makes Mary, the spiritual mother, over John. He says, "John, here is your mother." And Mary now becomes the spiritual mother over the Apostle John. So many women are mothers in Christ to us. These are women who radiate Christ in our life. Their smiles filled with the joy of Christ. They guide us with God's Word through our lives. So we want to honor these spiritual mothers, as God's Word says. So it's good to take a day and make it special for these special women in our life. Do you know Mother's Day in America was started as a Christian commemoration of moms? It was started by a Christian woman. In 1908, Anna Jarvis, young Christian woman from a small Methodist church in West Virginia, first suggested a national holiday to commemorate our moms because she so loved her mother. And she saw her mother sacrificed for other mothers who had lost their sons in the Civil War. And she said, "We need to honor these mothers." And so at her own mother's memorial service, she gave a carnation, her mother's favorite flower, to all the women present. We still carry on that tradition. Well, the idea gained traction in large cities until May 1914 by an act of Congress. President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed the second Sunday in May as Mother's Day. And he established it as, I quote, "a time for public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country." I was just reflecting of what a great country we live in that makes it a national commitment to keep God's fifth commandment. All right? I don't know if Woodrow Wilson thought about the commandments of God, but we get to, as Christians, keep God's commandments and also honor our mothers. So some mothers labor in obscurity with recognition only from God Himself. It's only God who sees your ministry to your family. All right? Pastor Charles Spurgeon commented on such mothers. 1800s, he said, "Oh, dear mothers, you have a very sacred trust reposed in you by God Himself. God has, in effect, said to you, 'Take my child and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.'" So God loves the family and He loves the home. In fact, God is a homemaker. God does not need our earth. God made earth as a home for us, for you and I. And for eternity, Jesus has prepared a room in His own home so that you and I could be in His home with Him and celebrate forever. So mothers reflect the character of God in their care for others, their care for the home, their compassion and mercy. Mothers incarnate the sacrificial aspect of the gospel. And often it's sacrifice made in obscurity, seen only by God. One man wrote of Martin Luther, a Protestant reformer, "Everyone has heard of Martin Luther, but who knows the name of his mother? The wife of a coal miner who often went hungry so that little Martin had enough money for food to attend school." So mothers who labor in obscurity deserve our honor. Other mothers are publicly honored by their sons. George Washington, when he was a teenager, was going to go off to be a sailor. He was going to go to sea. And he said, made all the arrangements, saying goodbye to his mother. And she was in such distress and crying that Washington turned to his servant and said, "Go tell the ship's captain I am not going away because I cannot bear to break my mother's heart." Washington's mother, moved by her son's compassion for her, said, "George, go to sea. God has promised to bless the children who honor their parents, and I believe God will bless you because you have honored me." Can we say that George Washington led a blessed life? Of course. All right? Because, in part, as a teenager, he made a commitment to honor his mother. All right? Teens, proclaim, do not underestimate how your obedience as a teenager to God's heart and commandments are building God-like, Christ-like character in you that God's going to use later in your life, just like he did with Washington. So honoring our mothers is being like Jesus himself, who honored his mother and obeyed his mother. So we honor our mothers because 8 times in Scripture, God commands us, honor your mother and father. 8 times in Scripture. How are you doing then at honoring your mothers? If we were to give you a grade today, would you get an A? All right. Would you get a C? Would some of you get Fs? All right. Is there room for improvement on honoring our mothers? Now, there are different ways to honor our mothers. In New York Harbor, the symbol of liberty, the Statue of Liberty, French sculptor Bertoldi in 1876, you know, he dedicated 20 years just to raise the money to fund that project, which was a gift of France to America, honoring America and our democratic ideals. Well, at the start of the project, the sculptor looked for a model who would represent the form and features of liberty. And after examining outstanding heroes of liberty, Bartholdi chose as his model for our Statue of Liberty his own mother. So today, you may choose to sculpt a model of your mother as an honoring of her. All right? Just an idea. If you were king in a time of kings, where kings had complete autonomy over life and death, how would you have honored your mother? Well, Solomon, King Solomon shows us, 1 Kings 2. King Solomon had Bathsheba, his mother, come to him, and the king arose to meet her, bowed before her, sat on his throne, and then he had a throne set by him for his mother. Right? That's honoring. That's honoring by reverence, by respect. Even though Solomon is the king of the country, he rose when his mother entered the room, and he bowed before her in honor of her God-given role in his life. Just as the countrymen bow before him because of his divine role in their lives. So God tells us, children, honor your mother. You know what? There's no expiration date on that command. It doesn't expire. All right? It is a command of God, so not honoring your mother is rebellion against God. So God has placed you by God's good design into your specific family. So we honor our moms because God's word commands us. Also, we honor our mother for another reason. Point two, we honor our mothers because there is a reward for us when we do. Ephesians 6:2 again, honor your father and mother. This is the first command with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Literally the Hebrew or the Greek word earth. We honor our mothers because there is a promise of reward. God will not honor those who do not honor their mothers, right? Life will not go well for you if you do not honor your mothers. Sons and daughters, whatever age you are, if you're finding that life is challenging for you, if life is not going well right now for you, could it be because you're not honoring your mothers? But to those sons and daughters who do honor their mothers. Guess what? God gives you double reward. Not just one, he gives you two scoops of reward. This might sound self-promoting to obey God so that we get blessed, all right? But it's a promise given by God himself, right? We do not obey God to get blessing. We obey God and then he blesses us, all right? That's his system that he's set up. So this first reward that he has given us, that he promises us when we honor our mothers, is that life will go well for us. God loves to bless his children who bless their mothers and fathers. So God promises life will go well. God will sovereignly overrule your life so that divine coincidences happen. Jobs, relationships, things that you cannot do for yourself, God will superimpose, and just in his favor, he will make happen for you. There will be blessings that will happen in your life because you have been a blessing to your mother. That's God's arrangement. So we honor our mothers by showing them respect and love, caring for them as long as they need us to care for them. And we honor our mothers by our own godly lives and the way we live our life. Doesn't matter how old you are as a child of your mother. Now, some of you have come to faith in Christ late in life, and maybe you're only now learning how to honor your mother. And regardless of what kind of mother you had, all right, God's plan and pleasure was that you were in her family and that you now honor her. God promises to favor your life if you do. And here's the second promise that God promises you. God promises that you will remain long in the land. Now, that was originally a promise applied to the Jews entering the promised land of Canaan. But you know what Paul does in Ephesians 6? He twists it a little and he applies it to Christians today. Paul changes that final word, land, and he uses the word earth. All right. So God enriches the life of those who honor their mother, and he extends their life on earth. Now, let me add a little proverb to this command to honor our mothers. This is kind of an interesting one that I found in Proverbs 23:22. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 23:22. Apparently, there is a sinful human tendency to despise our aging mothers. That's what God's word seems to say. You know what? I saw this firsthand in Dallas. My buddy was doing a funeral for this woman who habitually shopped at Neiman Marcus. And so he and I went to the estate sale for this woman. You know what? They opened her oven in her house. She literally had thousands of dollars of cash in her oven. If you ever go to an estate sale, always check the oven. All right. She, in her closet, she had thousands of dollars of unworn, still on the hanger, price tag still on, dresses, clothing, shoes that she had bought but never worn. All right. At her funeral, she had not one family member there. Not one of her children came. The only people at her funeral were four Neiman Marcus salespeople who became very wealthy because for interaction with people, every day she went to Neiman Marcus and bought something. That's how she forced people to interact with her. Solomon says, do not despise our mothers when they grow older. Whatever the dynamics that happen, don't despise them. You did not have a perfect mom. You know what? You are not a perfect child. All right? Yet, you Christian can honor your mother by forgiving her compassionately, rebuilding bridges of relationship with her. You do this for God's sake, regardless of whether your mother deserves your kindness or not. Perhaps God will use your kindness in her life to lead her to repentance, right? That's what God does. Romans 5:8 says, it's the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. All right. So a son or daughter lives out the gospel of forgiveness by being kind and forgiving to our mothers, just as God is kind and forgiving to us. And may I add, would you be determined to speak well of your mother? So many siblings, you know, when you do funerals, you hear siblings. And I'm amazed at how many siblings disparage their mothers. Would you make a commitment, I'll make the same, not to disparage our mothers with our words amongst our siblings? The Bible tells Christians, Romans 12:14, bless and do not curse. Can we make a commitment to bless our mothers with our words and not to despise them when they are old? So we honor our mothers because God commands us, and we honor mothers because there's a blessing of God for us when we do. And we honor our mothers simply because it pleases God when we do so. Would you turn in your Bibles now to 1 Timothy 5:3. 1 Timothy 5:3. Now the Apostle Paul is speaking to Pastor Timothy of EHCH, Ephesus Hills Christian Fellowship. And Paul tells Timothy, point three, we honor our mothers to please God. We honor our mothers simply so that we please God. 1 Timothy 5:3. He's going to talk about benevolence fund here. What do we do with our benevolence fund as a church? Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow, we would say mother, has children or grandchildren, these children should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents, for this is pleasing to God. All right? Do you want to please God? I want to please God. I want to do things that God says, this is exactly what pleases me. Those are the things I want to do. So here in 1 Timothy 5, Paul tells us, here's what you can do to please God. It's to take care of your parents. Specifically here, the care of your aging mothers and grandmothers. You know, the reality of life is that we men work hard bodily and our bodies give out earlier. And our wives live long after us, typically, all right? So they're many years alone without their spouses, right? So if these moms and grandmoms are in difficult financial situations, they do not come first to the church and ask for benevolence from our benevolence fund. Paul says, no, that's not the way we do it in church. God says we children are our mother's first line of care. We sons and daughters are to take care of our mothers as they age. All right? So this is how, God says, we practice our Christian faith. This is how we show the world we are Christians, by living out this care of our aging parents. Let's apply that for a second. For those of us, myself included, who have aging moms, have you saved some money so that you are positioned to help your mother if she has financial need as she ages? God says, that's good. That pleases me. All right? Think of all the investment that your mom has done for you, made in your life. Columnist Ann Landers, years ago, made famous this mother's description. Mother's description: I am a friend, a confidant, personal advisor, referee, peacemaker, housekeeper, laundress, chauffeur, interior decorator, gardener, painter, wallpaper, dog groomer, veterinarian, manicurist, hairstylist, seamstress, appointment manager, financial planner, bookkeeper, money manager, personal secretary, teacher, disciplinarian, entertainer, psychoanalyst, nurse, triage doctor, public relations expert, dietitian, nutritionist, baker, chef, fashion coordinator, and automobile maintenance and repair expert, travel agent, speech therapist, and plumber. Whew. Way to go, moms. All right. And let's add to that, Bible teacher, prayer warrior, right? Discipler of your kids. And typically, you're the ones who bring the kids to church. All right. So sons and daughters, God in 1 Timothy 5 asked, how much is your mother's labor on your behalf worth to you? Let's have some fun for this. Let's set $10 an hour, 40-hour work week for 18 years. You know, if you were to cut a check for your mom, you would owe her $374,000. So today on Mother's Day, you can write her a check. Or God says, you may just simply honor your mother today. All right? You can give her financial care if she has financial need. But if not, give her emotional care by giving her your time, your attention. Without her, you would not be you. So what's you worth to you? All right? That's the honor due your mother. So a mother's child, no matter what age, is to honor his mother. That's what God says children are to do for their mothers. Now let's flip that for our last point here. God tells mothers to do something for their kids. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Point 4, mothers are esteemed by God as teachers of their children. Proverbs 1, verse 8. Hear, my child, your father's instruction, and forsake not your mother's teaching. For they are a graceful garland around your head and pendants around your neck. Do you want to wear some bling, some Bible bling? All right. Here's how you Bible bling it up. All right. Obey your mother's teaching. God tells children to pay attention, not just pay attention, but to apply their father's instruction and their mother's teaching. A son or daughter who does that is made evident, public to everybody. It's like godly bling that shows their submission to their parents' authority. It shows a child's own wisdom in wanting to learn from somebody older than they are. So God's instruction to mothers, teach your kids. Notice, it's God who creates the family, and God has made the family a school. Both parents teach. The child learns from dad God's character of strength and leadership, protection, justice, and love. And the child learns from his mother God's character of care and warmth and nurture, intimacy, justice, and love. Now this word, father's instruction, literally it's the word in Hebrew, discipline. Fathers discipline their kids. And mothers, the literal word is Torah, mother's Torah. God's teaching, God's scriptures, God's law. That's what moms teach. Literally, what God says is right or wrong. One commentator says, these two commands to the father and mother warn against the two common temptations of rebellion. One is when a child is at home, and one rebellion is when a child is away from home. If he is at home, the temptation of rebellion is not to listen when your parent speaks. So Solomon says, hear your father's instruction. And if the child is away from home, the temptation is to forsake what he's been taught. So Solomon says, do not forsake your mother's teaching. So mothers teach God's Torah, God's law, God's scriptures to their kids. And we see this principle lived out very clearly in Timothy's life. The Apostle Paul tells his disciple Timothy, you were taught well by your mother and your grandmother. 2 Timothy 1. Timothy, I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm sure dwells within you as well. Next chapter. You, Timothy, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, your grandmother and mother, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, because your mom's been teaching you the Holy Scriptures, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So we honor our mothers because they are God's primary teachers of God's Word to God's children. This schooling aspect of the family is so important that God repeats it in Proverbs 6. My child, keep your father's commandments, forsake not your mother's teachings, bind them on your heart. Tie them firmly around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. And when you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. So if you are a son or a daughter, God commands you to honor your mother by not forsaking her teaching. And moms, that means you're teaching your kids what's moral, what's God's law, teaching your kids God's scriptures. Now, one of my favorite books is by Franklin Graham, Rebel with a Cause. He's now the president of Samaritan's Purse. All right, his father's evangelist Billy Graham, mother Ruth Graham. Well, as a child, he was rebellious, and his book's just full of all of his rebellions. But one story that I like, Franklin Graham writes, "One day when I was about 9 years old and had taken a few extra pieces of watermelon, but I never told my mom. Daddy was away for about a month leading evangelistic rallies, so I had to answer to Mama. So I'd left evidence of the watermelon rinds behind, so Mama asked, 'Franklin, did you eat the watermelon?' 'No, Mama, wasn't me.' 'Franklin, I know it was.' 'No, it had to be someone else, Mama.' 'Who?' 'Well, my sisters.' 'But you were by yourself in the kitchen. You know what I told you about lying, Franklin.' 'I'm not lying, Mama. I just forget.' 'Well, think hard, son.' 'I can't.' 'Well, let's get down on our knees, son, and ask the Lord to help you remember. You ask, Mama. God listens to you.' 'No, you ask him, Franklin.' 'No, you ask, Mama.' 'Well, you're the one who forgot,' Mama said. 'Well, you pray first, Mama, and then I will.' Mama's prayer was more like a sermon about how the devil can get into a little boy's heart. Finally, she stopped. 'Now you pray, Franklin.' 'Dear Jesus,' I began, 'help a little boy remember.' When I looked up, Mama's staring straight at me. 'Well, God's not helping me much, Mama.' 'Oh, yes, he is. He's already told you, Franklin. God knows who ate the watermelon. Mama, God doesn't really know. He's just guessing. God never guesses. He knows everything. He sees everything. Mama, I'm beginning to remember now.' 'What do you remember, son?' 'I was the one, Mama.' She put her arm around me. 'If you had persisted in lying, you know I would have had to punish you.' 'I know, Mama. I'm sorry.' Instead of spanking me, Mama brought me a piece of watermelon. And he says, 'It tasted a whole lot better than the one I had lied about.' Isn't that a great story? So God commands mothers, teach Scripture, teach God's laws to your children, and teach God's grace. Now, just in closing, how do we apply this? What are maybe four ways that we can honor our mothers? Here's some ideas. This may spur maybe ideas in you. One, as we talked about, honor your mother by spending time with her on her agenda, not on your agenda. Right? What does your mom want to do? Not what do you want to do for your mom. There is a difference in that. All right? Maybe it's a phone call. Maybe it's lunch. Maybe it's dinner. Maybe it's a walk. You know, maybe it's just simply sitting and having a conversation with her. Two, honor your mothers by writing a handwritten letter. Now, I asked my high school teenage students how many of their grandparents were on Snapchat with them. Right? Out of 133 teenage students, only two grandparents were on Snapchat. You know, the statistics are similar for moms. You know, your moms are probably from letter-writing generations. All right, just like your grandparents. Even if she lives in Temecula, write your mom a letter. Mail it. You know the excitement when you get a letter in the mail. It's exciting. Your mom will feel the same way. Three, give news and updates. Now, especially for moms who have grown kids and grandkids, my experience is they cannot get enough of news. All right, they cannot get enough of photos. Send photos, updates. What are you and the kids doing? Four, we can honor our mothers by giving emotional care. Your mother's done years of things for you. Just tell her, Mom, thanks. Thanks for all you have done. And thanks for all that you continue to do for me. Let her know that you will still care for her. Mom, we're here for you. We are going to take care of you. My wife and I have discussed it. Here's what we have committed to you to do. Let her know that you're there for her. Because God says, and because you want to honor her. Let her hug her. Moms can't get enough hugs from their kids and grandkids. All right? And lastly, pray for your mom and pray with your mom. Abraham Lincoln, when he received the telegram announcing his presidency, he arose from his group, put on his hat and coat, and said to his friends, "There's a little woman at home who would like to hear of this. And Lincoln went off to tell his godly mother of his presidency. All right. Honor your mothers. All right. Happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our moms. Everybody in here has a mom. And we do want to honor you, God, by honoring her. Would you help us today? Would we make them feel like the special women in our lives that they are? And would you be honored and glorified, God, through that? In Jesus' name, amen.